Hi, good morning. My name is Amanda Shine Sanford. Oops. All right, is that better?
Yeah.
I'm from the University of Nebraska. I'm a master's student. And we're going to take a little break from crop modeling and phenotyping and talk about something pretty different using UAVs, which is looking at dung distribution under different grazing strategies. So, within rangeland systems, we usually have a pretty low input extensive type system where there aren't a lot of inorganic fertilizers being applied, and the system is usually wholly dependent upon the return of dung and urine and trampled vegetation to the system in order to feed vegetation regrowth and the soil microbial community, and basically to keep nutrient cycling going. Unfortunately for us, cattle or sheep or goats do not uniformly distribute their excrement across the pasture. And distribution is influenced by a lot of factors, including watering points and shade, escaping from flies, and mineral and salt licks. So we have a problem of a really spatially uncoupled nutrient distribution system where vegetation is harvested at one point and probably distributed somewhere else, and likely distributed in a place with a lot of other nutrients where cattle or other animals have congregated. And we know very little about how nutrient cycling, especially of nitrogen and carbon and phosphorus, differs between these high input or kind of hot spot areas with a lot of deposition versus the low spot or the lower areas without a lot of nutrient cycling. Without a lot of nutrient input. So obviously dung is not the only thing affecting the rate of nutrient cycling, and the concentration is not. We've got factors like time, the amount of time that cattle are in a pasture, amount of precipitation, season of the year, type of vegetation being grazed, stocking density, dung beetles, I should mention earthworms, which aren't on here, physical and chemical soil properties, and the soil microbial community are all working together to determine the kind of nutrient cycling taking place in the system. So for this larger project that my research is a part of, we're testing the hypothesis that by changing our stocking density within grazing systems, so basically our grazing strategy, how many animals, how densely we're stocking them, and how quickly we're moving them between pastures. We hypothesize that that changes the spatial and temporal distribution of dung and urine, and thus influences our nutrient cycling dynamics. So my specific project objectives within the larger project are to develop a method for identifying dung from UAV imagery, and then to analyze within a GIS the size and distribution of the nutrient input based on the grazing strategy being studied and the time of the season. We have really hoped to be able to quantify and look at urine and trampled vegetation as well, but this turns out to be pretty difficult, so we're not reaching that quite yet. I should also mention that historically, So setting Lincoln down here in the southeast corner of Nebraska, where we're at, where the university is at, my study site is the university's Barta Brothers Ranch, which is in the eastern edge of the Sand Hills near Long Pine and Bassett. It's a 7,000-acre ranch that encompasses both upland areas of sand dunes and sub-irrigated meadows, which are prevalent throughout the Sand Hills. Typically used for hay production. They're very productive areas, and that's where my study site is located, in one of these sub-irrigated meadows. This is a drone, or an image from my drone, of the whole study site. So every summer, the pastures that I look at are grazed for 60 days by yearling steers taken from another one of our university animal science facilities. And I am looking at two different grazing strategies right now. The larger rectangles are an ultra-high density mob rotation. Each of those rectangles is actually composed of four different pastures that they cycle through throughout the summer, through the 60 days. Every day they're given two strips, a 19-foot by 320-foot strip in the morning, and then another one in the afternoon. It's about 24 steers in that rotation, so it's an incredibly high stocking density and a fast rotation. The smaller rectangles there are a four-pasture, once-over rotation. Each of the smaller pastures is about an acre, and about eight steers spend 15 days in each of those smaller pastures. So to clarify, the stocking rates between both those systems is the same. It's the stocking density that changes. It's hard to look at them and feel like they could be similar because of the difference in cattle numbers and pasture size, but it's the same stocking rate. This is just an up-close image from the UAV imagery. This is an RGB image, not a multispectral, and just showing you the resolution that I have. So the equipment that I'm using is a SenseFly EB Ag equipped with a Sequoia multispectral sensor. It's a four-band sensor, also with a high-resolution RGB camera on it. We don't use the RGB camera for analysis of any sort, but it does give us nice imagery if we want it. So we've got a green, red edge, and near infrared bands that we're using. It's a pretty simple system. I'll show you the platform used for scheduling flights next, but you can see in this picture up on the right, the transponder that's attached to my laptop. It's how the laptop communicates with the drone once it's launched. There is an incoming radiation sensor on the top of the drone, so we'll calibrate before every flight, and then with changing light conditions, the radiometric accuracy is retained because we have the readings coming in from incoming radiation. This is called eMotion. This is where we schedule our flights and plan them. On the right, up right in the middle there, you can see one of my fields. So I'll input the kind of resolution that I want for the per pixel resolution, and the flight height is dependent on that. I'll estimate wind direction and speed. I can change the direction of the flight to go north, south, or east, west. You set home and landing points, and your approach, the kind of triangle shaped things are my approaches for the landing. What else do I have to tell you? I flew most of my sites at 6 centimeters resolution this summer, which worked pretty well. 5 centimeters was a little low, and the imagery is much harder to stitch together at that resolution. At 9 centimeters, I still have a pretty good ability to pick out dung paths, so that's good for flying larger pastures. Obviously, in range systems, we're not talking about flying 1 acre plots. We're looking at very large systems. So the higher I can fly and the more I can get off of one battery, the better. Our battery life with the EV is about 45 minutes under good conditions. And I can cover at 9 centimeters resolution, I can cover about 150 acres with 75% overlap. This is just a fun video because it launched at the best part of flying the EV. So I'm going to show you what it looks like. You start the motor by shaking the drone 3 times, and then it signals you when its RPMs are up. And then it does its thing, and then it comes back and lands. So. Then a lot happens in between that flight. In this picture, we use Pix4D as our processing platform. It's an amazing, amazing software program. My flights are often 300 images at least, so it takes those and stitches them together. It's not perfect by any means. We get some shadowing, especially in the RGB imagery, but overall, it's compared to manually stitching 300 images. It does a really great job. I specifically wanted to show this picture because of the geometric accuracy or geographical accuracy that comes off of the drone. The GPS unit is located in the incoming radiation sensor, and then it's also synced with the firmware on the drone. So the stars in the corners are my locations taken with a Trimble, GPS locations of the corners, and you can see that it looks pretty good with just processed imagery and no further correction for geographic coordinates on my own. So I will have to coordinate more. You can see in these, the yellow dots are located at exclosure cages for vegetation sampling, and they are off a little bit. It's not perfect. I'd say usually about a meter is what it's off. So when I go back and reprocess this imagery, I will use ground control points to tighten that up a bit. This is, I don't have enough time to talk about this, I guess, in detail. Last year, we used a different system, different sensor, and this is what my images looked like after processing. So you can see why 3 feet is a pretty great, those don't look so good. So I'm pretty happy with what I'm getting this year. The main challenge in discriminating dung out of an image is its similarity with soil reflectance. So depending on the moisture content of the dung, the type of soil, and the moisture content of the soil, this can be harder or easier. In order to help facilitate a way to do this discrimination, I'm also doing infield proximal sensing with a hyperspectral sensor that's got 1,000 narrow bands. And on the right, you can see the soil reflectance pattern is in the black. The other colors and lines are from different ages of dung consolidated together. So we have this maximum difference between about 870 nanometers, and then down in the blue, in the visible blue, we played around with making an index, a dung index, to see if we can separate things out based on that. It works okay, but it does give us a way to kind of to see where the differences are. So my technique thus far, has been to use supervised classification for discriminating the soil and the dung and everything else within the pasture. So this is the outcome of a very simple supervised classification. And for those of you not familiar, it's basically a manual way of using a polygon to select an object within your image and to tell your GIS what it is, and then have it take that spectral signature and apply it across the image and return to you, hopefully accurately, other objects of that same spectral signature. So this worked really well, pretty well. The green is vegetation, the tan is supposed to be soil, and the black are dung pats. The red dots are ground truth GPS locations, which I should mention I have also done. I have several hundred points for each season. So this is what I'm going with. Right now I don't have firm results because my analysis has taken longer than I thought, which I'm sure no one else here has ever experienced. And I had a hard drive crash this fall, which didn't help things either. So this is my method at this point that I'm moving forward with. I only have 4 classification categories in that picture, and I think that will improve drastically as I increase the number of categories. Once you zoom out to the larger image, you can see that we're zoomed into that top 4 pasture once over rotation. Kind of breaks down when we zoom out. It's mixing up a lot of soil and vegetation, so definitely some work to do. Oops, and that. Sorry. So remaining challenges, again, as dung ages, it becomes more similar to soil and harder to discriminate. I seem to lose the ability to detect it after about 10 days. It really breaks down. You have vegetation regrowth that shields the dung, and it's losing moisture, so the signal isn't as strong. Then eventually I'll need to decide if I'm going to use point or raster data for the GIS spatial analysis. I'm guessing I'm pretty much out of time. This is my workflow, and then acknowledgments. Thank you. Sorry for running over.
No, you're all good.
Yes, please feel free to find me. If you're interested in the results, please email me, and I'm happy to talk about the platform or anything that I've done in the